Blog Talk Radio.
You got a craving for barbecue, and Dickie's has barbecue sandwiches that start under $6.50. Your favorite meat smoked low and slow, then piled high on a toasted brioche bun. A big fancy word for dang good. Great tasting sandwiches from our infamous pulled pork to taste bud kicking chicken. Get one of these bad boys starting under $6.50. Come see why they're Dickie's classics from a real wood burning pit. Right, Mr. Dickie?
We'll see you when you get here. Dickie's, we speak barbecue.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Give honor to God who is first in my life and to the Spirit of God that abides in this early Sunday morning service. I bring you greetings from the Generation Baptist Church, Generation, G-E-N-E-L-A-T-I-O-N. Generation means we have a start-to-finish ministry given by God, exposing the Alpha and Omega. I believe the Lord has sent me to the kingdom for such a time as this to minister to generations, past, present, and future. The way we honor the past by singing hymns and anthems on a continual basis, to never forget the songs that brought our forefathers and mothers over. The way we establish the present by appointing junior ushers, junior deacons, and junior trustees, and training them in the fear of the Lord and treating them like the church of today and tomorrow, because I believe when I'm gone, the church is supposed to keep on rolling on. Our future is edifying to the Almighty God by singing praise and worship without any music from time to time, so that our church will never get caught up with the method and miss the message. Blog Talk Radio. Y'all ready to have some church? For those of you that bought your Bibles, it is the only weapon we have that will put the devil, somebody say, in his place. It is the only weapon we have that will give you and I the right to eternal and everlasting, somebody say, life. It is the only weapon we have that the thieves can't steal and the robbers can't take and the police can't arrest. And I don't care what neighborhood you live in, somebody said that's the word of God. I want to turn your attention just for a few moments to the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and I'm going to begin reading at the 3rd verse. Ephesians 4 and 3. If you're with me, say amen. If you need more time, somebody say mercy. Mercy is a good thing. And the word of the Lord reads as thus, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who was above all and through all and in you all. That's enough. Let the Redeemer of the Lord say amen. There is no doubt in my mind early this morning that you and I, we need to know the definition of my text even before I give it, because I believe it will make a difference in your life. If you will, please look at somebody earlier this morning and tell them, for me, truth or consequences. You all know the game, don't you? Truth or consequences. Now, I know you're wondering, what does truth and consequences have to do with the word of God recorded by the great missionary Apostle Paul, who was in jail without the bail as he writes? However, we all know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, and even Jesus knew that we all didn't get along sometimes, and he left recorded the word endeavor, that simply means at least try. Or you know how I do, put your hands on your hips and let your backbone slip and say, for me, at least try. I know the deacons get on your nerves. They've been in that position for 40 years, and they still can't raise a hand, but at least try. I know the ushers were still nasty at the door, but at least try. If you will, please give me a few moments, and then I'm going to set this up, and then I'm going somewhere with this. Yes, I am, for I am a firm believer. Today, without a doubt in my mind, that a kingdom character trait that is uncompromising to God is a thing called truth. Somebody say truth. If you want to know what the world is in need of in these last and evil days we live in, I stopped by early this morning to tell you it is the power of God's truth. I know I'm right about it. Mm-hmm. Because the Bible says that God cannot lie, which is the opposite of truth. For the essence of who God is truth. As a matter of fact, the Bible declares that our God detests lying. And not only because it's sin, for he hates all sin. However, it is completely opposite of who he is in his own being, for our God is truth. When I'm in trouble, I don't know about you, but I want to know the truth. Somebody talk back to me. Mm-hmm. When I'm sick and a decision has to be made, and they've already told me there's nothing else they can do, I don't know about y'all, but I want to know the truth. Somebody say amen right there now. Before I go any further or invest any more information in this text this morning, because Paul's stuff is straight. Mm-hmm. Paul has his stuff together early this morning. He gave us 7 points. Somebody say seven. That will help you and I embrace the truth versus the consequences of not looking out for one another. For Paul said, number one, body. Number two, spirit. Number three, hope of your calling. Number four, Lord. Number five, one faith. Number six, one baptism. And then number seven, God and Father of us all. Y'all do the math. I'm on the radio. Somebody said that's the truth. Uh-huh. But to be very clear about what I'm talking about early this morning, and to get to the core of the understanding part and the time allotted that I have to do so, we need to know the meaning of the word truth. Mm-hmm. And the reason why, just like Paul declared unto the Ephesians, I want to declare unto my Block Talk family this morning that life doesn't always turn out like you plan. I'm going to put a quarter in the meter right there. Mm-hmm. You and I will not understand nor like everything that happens to us in this life. And it is a good policy to never say what you won't do. Mm-hmm. Because if you were in that situation, you don't know how you will react until it happens to you. Somebody say amen right there. Uh-huh. And in living, there's some good days, and then there's some bad days, and then there's some days, if you live long enough, that you will not be able to explain. As Grandmama said, if you live long enough, you will understand it better by and by, and that what goes up must come down. But if it goes up right, it'll come down right, especially when you know the truth. Somebody said preach. Mm-hmm. Because we have a tendency to put truth on a lot of things that is just not the truth. Somebody said that's the truth. Mm-hmm. That's why understanding truth is so difficult for some of us. It's not hard, it's just difficult. And the reason why it is so difficult is because some of us make up our own rules and we change them when we get mad. Mm-mm. We change them when we get scared. Uh-oh. And we change them when things are not going our way. The only thing I have to say is, ouch. I'm trying. As I completely try to do the will of God. For the first definition I'd like to share with you this morning about the word truth is to be established, certain, or to have divine faithfulness. I need to take my time. I'm going to preach in a minute. But I need you to understand that when you begin to establish truth, at least from the definition that I've just offered unto you early this morning, that you cannot talk about truth without talking about God. Uh-uh. And when you begin to talk about that which is certain and that which is established, only that which is certain and established divinely through God's faithfulness is true. I know that was a mouthful, but I'm not certain my boy is going to be there when I need him all the time. But I'm certain if I call on God that he will answer prayer. Is that clear? I'm not certain that when I apologize for my wrong, that man will forgive me. But I'm certain that if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, that God will be just to forgive me. Uh-huh. I'm not certain that it's been established that my best friend has my back all the time. However, it's been established and proven that God will never leave me nor forsake me, and he's here, there, and everywhere at the same time, for he is an omnipresent God. Somebody said that's the truth. Glory. My second one. my second divine, and I'd like to share with you early this morning about the word truth, for I want to go just a little bit deeper. Somebody say deeper. Not only is truth established certain or divine faithfulness, but it also has another meaning by the word of reliable. Somebody say reliable. Which means it can be counted on, and thus it is trustworthy. And what that means is when something is true, it can be counted on. For I learned that I can't always count on man, but I can always count on God. Man will twist the story about the what, whys, and the whens, but God will tell the truth. Somebody say amen right there. My so-called friends will sugarcoat my behavior and my attitude, but God will checkmate me and tell me the truth, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, period. And that means don't add, don't subtract, don't divide, or multiply. Somebody say amen. I'm trying to do as I completely move to the place where God is calling me to and try and walk in the path that God has placed me in. It does not mean that I'm perfect. That's not the truth. For this great man of God, the Apostle Paul, left recorded, when I go and try and do the right thing, I be doggone, something always go wrong. Somebody talk back to me. If it ain't one thing, it's another. That I'm in a constant struggle to get where it is, where God has laid out for me to be. And in that I recognize it is God that understands the truth of my path and not me. It is God that lays it out for me, and thus I must seek him in order to find out what is the real truth for my life. For if I do not seek God, I can never understand me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. Somebody say preach every time. Every time you look at Jesus, you see the truth of God. That's why his life was so powerful, because it was God wrapped up in human flesh in order to show us the truth of who he was. And I need you to understand early this morning that even in this time of sorrow, God was still in control. Oh, yes, he was. If you didn't understand any of the above definements, I need you to write these next two definements down, and then I'm going to go on about my Father's business, because in life, there's an entrance, and then there's an exit. There's a beginning, and then there's an end. There's an up, and then there's a down, and then there's a truth, and then there's a lie. Somebody say amen. Now, as you can see, when we approach the word truth, it is full of all capacities of life that affects the inner man, because the reality of what we really want to see is not of God. It's not of God at all, is what we create. And I know what I'm talking about, and I would be remiss if I didn't share with you early this morning about subjective truth. Somebody say subjective. S-U-B-J-E-C-T-I-V-E, which means what is true now is true to me based on my own knowledge and the things I've gone through in this life. And I want to share with you early this morning that there's a limit on that kind of truth. Somebody say limit. I got some Bible to back it up, because your experience is not mine and mine is not yours. You may have had bad husband all your life. It don't mean all men are bad. Come on, brothers, talk back to me. You may have had a mean wife all your life. It don't mean that all women are mean. The devil is a liar. Somebody say amen. It is true to you as far as you have lived it, and that does not validate it is true. I prove it to you again. You can take five people in a room, and based on their experience, all will say something different. One will say you have to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit one way, and another say, no, if you don't get it this way, then you don't have it at all. One will say you have to run up the aisles and scream and holler and foam at the mouth to prove you're happy. And another will say, I'm just as happy as you are, sitting in my seat rocking from side to side with tears rolling down my eyes, and guess what? I still got my joy. One will say in order to be born again, you have to go to the mourner's bench and stay there all night. And another will say, no, because I read the Bible, and it says if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus is raised from the dead, and that thou shalt be saved, and I'm saved, and I know that I am. That's why Mm-hmm. That's why God has a hard time with some of us, especially in the area of understanding the truth. Because based on our own experience, it's our way or no way at all. We forget all about once we come to God is that old things are passed away and now all things become new. But we only want to work with the old and not the new. I'm going to be finished in a minute. I owe you this last setup. For not only is there subjective truth, but there's also objective truth. O-B-J-E-C-T-I-V-E. And that means what is true to God, period. Here we go again. Don't add, don't subtract, don't divide or multiply. And I need to make this very clear early this morning that there is a difference in what's true to you and what's true to God. Uh-huh. For there's some truth that you know of right now, Lord have mercy, that won't be true to you later on in life if you keep on living. It just won't be true anymore. Let me prove it to you. There's some stuff that makes sense to you now that just won't make sense to you as you get older. Let me try to close this thing for real. For there's some stuff that meant the world to you before, and if you keep on living, listen, after you done been lied on, talked about, and stabbed in the back, they just don't mean the same anymore. Uh-huh. For some of us, it used to be the truth to give others word for word and always have to have the last word. But if you live long enough, glory to God, you'll find out if you hold your peace and let God fight your battle, you'll win every time. If I'm right about it, somebody say amen. Huh? For some of us, it used to be the truth to prove to others that we was the only ones that was holy and everybody else was going to hell. And for some of us that's been around for a while, we find ourselves saying, listen, I can't worry about you. I'm going to pray for you, but it's me, it's me. It's me, O Lord, and I'm standing in the need of prayer. For some of us, it used to be the truth to listen to gossip about others and pass judgment and point the finger. But if you keep on living, you'll find out when the finger is pointing at others that the thumb is pointing back at you. And just like you changed from yesterday to today, you will change from today to tomorrow. For there's one thing that will never change, and that is the truth of God's word. As I'm on my way back to my seat, the reason I call this text Truth or Consequences early this morning is because I hear Jesus telling educated folks and Pharisees and Jews, if I told y'all the truth, you wouldn't believe it. You know, folks would rather hear a lie than the truth. And the truth is, it only takes a few seconds to say, I'm sorry. Uh-huh. The truth is, it only takes a few seconds to say, I'm standing in the need of prayer. The truth is, it only takes a few seconds to say, I need help. I'm trying to get to heaven. Will somebody help me, please? The truth is, who the Son set free is free indeed. The truth is, I may not be what I ought to be, but I'm not what I used to be because I've been changed. And the consequences, excuse me, the consequences are if you don't ask for forgiveness, my God won't forgive you. The consequences are if you don't ask for prayer, you only hurt yourself because prayer changes everything. The consequences are if you're on your way to heaven and you don't honor or believe the truth, you will never see Jesus. The consequences of not believing the truth is the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Listen, if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, and then we tell you today that he died on the cross of Calvary, that you and I might have a right to the tree of life. All you got to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead and thou shalt be saved. Listen, you all know the game. You have to pick out who the real one is. Uh-huh. And I believe that's the reason Paul recorded this conversation with the Pharisees. For you see, he was trying to convey to them that when you declare that you know Jesus, and that is the truth, the man that woke you up this morning, who put food on your table, who put a roof over your head, come on, who put clothes on your back, who made a way out of no way, who's been a wheel in the middle of a wheel, who's been a mind regulator and a heart fixer and a doctor in a sick room and a lawyer in the courtroom, there shouldn't be any problem declaring truth. For the truth of the matter is, Our God is true all the time, and the truth shall stand forever. Ain't nothing wrong with you. All you need is a few moments with the preacher. Until next Sunday morning at 7 a.m., may the God I serve bless you real good.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Give honor to God who is first in my life and to the Spirit of God that abides in this early Sunday morning service. I bring you greetings from the Generation Baptist Church, Generation, G-E-N-E-L-A-T-I-O-N. Generation means we have a start to finish ministry given by God, exposing the Alpha and Omega. I believe the Lord has sent me to the kingdom for such a time as this to minister to generations, past, present, and future. The way we honor the past by singing hymns and anthems on a continual basis, to never forget the songs that brought our forefathers and mothers over. The way we establish the present by appointing junior ushers, junior deacons, and junior trustees, and training them in the fear of the Lord and treating them like the church of today and tomorrow, because I believe when I'm gone, the church is supposed to keep on rolling on. Our future is edifying to the Almighty God by singing praise and worship without any music from time to time, so that our church will never get caught up with the method and miss the message. Block Talk Radio. Y'all ready to have some church? For those of you that bought your Bibles, it is the only weapon we have that will put the devil, somebody say, in his place. It is the only weapon we have that will give you and I the right to eternal and everlasting, somebody say, life. It is the only weapon we have that the thieves can't steal and the robbers can't take and the police can't arrest. And I don't care what neighborhood you live in, somebody said, that's the word of God. I want to turn your attention just for a few moments to the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and I'm going to begin reading at the 3rd verse. Ephesians 4 and 3. If you're with me, say amen. If you need more time, somebody say mercy. Mercy is a good thing. And the word of the Lord reads as thus, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who was above all and through all and in you all. That's enough. Let the Redeemer of the Lord say amen. There is no doubt in my mind early this morning that you and I, we need to know the definition of my text even before I give it, because I believe it will make a difference in your life. If you will, please look at somebody early this morning and tell them, for me, truth or consequences. You all know the game, don't you? Truth or consequences. Now, I know you're wondering, what does truth and consequences have to do with the word of God recorded by the great missionary apostle Paul, who was in jail without the bail as he writes? However, we all know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, and even Jesus knew that we all didn't get along sometimes, and he left recorded the word endeavor, that simply means at least try. Or you know how I do, put your hands on your hips and let your backbone slip and say, for me, at least try. I know the deacons get on your nerves. They've been in that position for 40 years, and they still can't raise a hand, but at least try. I know the ushers were still nasty at the door, but at least try. If you will, please give me a few moments, and then I'm going to set this up, and then I'm going somewhere with this. Yes, I am, for I am a firm believer. Today, without a doubt in my mind, that a kingdom character trait that is uncompromising to God is a thing called truth. Somebody say truth. If you want to know what the world is in need of in these last and evil days we live in, I stopped by early this morning to tell you it is the power of God's truth. I know I'm right about it, because the Bible says that God cannot lie, which is the opposite of truth. For the essence of who God is truth. As a matter of fact, the Bible declares that our God detests lying, and not only because it's sin, for he hates all sin. However, it is completely opposite of who he is in his own being, for our God is truth. When I'm in trouble, I don't know about you, but I want to know the truth. Somebody talk back to me. When I'm sick and a decision has to be made and they've already told me there's nothing else they can do, I don't know about y'all, but I want to know the truth. Somebody say amen right there. Now, before I go any further or invest any more information in this text this morning, because Paul's stuff is straight. Paul has his stuff together early this morning. He gave us 7 points. Somebody say seven. That will help you and I embrace the truth versus the consequences of not looking out for one another. For Paul said, number one, body. Number two, spirit. Number three, hope of your calling. Number four, Lord. Number five, one faith. Number six, one baptism. And then number seven, God and Father of us all. Y'all do the math. I'm on the radio. Somebody said that's the truth. But to be very clear about what I'm talking about early this morning, and to get to the core of the understanding part and the time allotted that I have to do so, we need to know the meaning of the word truth. And the reason why, just like Paul declared unto the Ephesians, I want to declare unto my Block Talk family this morning that life doesn't always turn out like you planned. I'm going to put a quarter in the meter right there. You and I will not understand nor like everything that happens to us in this life. And it is a good policy to never say what you won't do. Because if you were in that situation, you don't know how you will react until it happens to you. Somebody say amen right there. And in living, there's some good days, and then there's some bad days, and then there's some days, if you live long enough, that you will not be able to explain. As Grandmama said, if you live long enough, you will understand it better by and by, and that what goes up must come down. But if it goes up right, it'll come down right, especially when you know the truth. Somebody said preach. Because we have a tendency to put truth on a lot of things that is just not the truth. Somebody said that's the truth. That's why understanding truth is so difficult for some of us. It's not hard, it's just difficult. And the reason why it is so difficult is because some of us make up our own rules and we change them when we get mad. We change them when we get scared. And we change them when things are not going our way. The only thing I have to say is, ouch. I'm trying. As I completely try to do the will of God. For the first assignment I'd like to share with you this morning about the word truth is to be established, certain, or to have divine faithfulness. I need to take my time. I'm going to preach in a minute. But I need you to understand that when you begin to establish truth, at least from the definition that I've just offered unto you early this morning, that you cannot talk about truth without talking about God. And when you begin to talk about that which is certain and that which is established, only that which is certain and established divinely through God's faithfulness is true. I know that was a mouthful, but I'm not certain my boy is going to be there when I need him all the time. But I'm certain if I call on God that he will answer prayer. Is that clear? I'm not certain that when I apologize for my wrong, that man will forgive me, but I'm certain that if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, that God will be just to forgive me. I'm not certain that it's been established that my best friend has my back all the time. However, it's been established and proven that God will never leave me nor forsake me, and he's here, there, and everywhere at the same time, for he is an omnipresent God. Somebody said that's the truth. Glory. My second assignment I'd like to share with you early this morning about the word truth, for I want to go just a little bit deeper. Somebody say deeper. Not only is truth established certain or divine faithfulness, but it also has another meaning by the word of reliable. Somebody say reliable. Which means it can be counted on, and thus it is trustworthy. And what that means is when something is true, it can be counted on. For I learned that I can't always count on man, but I can always count on God. Man will twist the story about the what, whys, and the whens, but God will tell the truth. Somebody say amen right there. My so-called friends will sugarcoat my behavior and my attitude, but God will checkmate me and tell me the truth, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, period. And that means don't add, don't subtract, don't divide, or multiply. Somebody say amen. Again, I'm trying to do as I completely move to the place where God is calling me to and try and walk in the path that God has placed me in. It does not mean that I'm perfect. That's not the truth. For this great man of God, the Apostle Paul, left recorded, when I go and try and do the right thing, I be doggone, something always go wrong. Somebody talk back to me. If it ain't one thing, it's another. That I'm in a constant struggle to get where it is, where God has laid out for me to be. And in that, I recognize it is God that understands the truth of my path and not me. It is God that lays it out for me, and thus I must seek him in order to find out what is the real truth for my life. For if I do not seek God, I can never understand me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. Somebody say preach every time. Every time you look at Jesus, you see the truth of God. That's why his life was so powerful, because it was God wrapped up in human flesh in order to show us the truth of who he was. And I need you to understand early this morning that even in this time of sorrow, God was still in control. Oh, yes, he was. If you didn't understand any of the above definements, I need you to write these next two definements down, and then I'm going to go on about my Father's business. Because in life, there's an entrance, and then there's an exit. There's a beginning, and then there's an end. There's a up, and then there's a down, and then there's a truth, and then there's a lie. Somebody say amen. Now, as you can see, when we approach the word truth, it is full of all capacities of life that affects the inner man, because the reality of what we really want to see is not of God. It's not of God at all, is what we create. And I know what I'm talking about, and I would be remiss if I didn't share with you early this morning about subjective truth. Somebody say subjective. S-U-B-J-E-C-T-I-V-E, which means what is true now is true to me based on my own knowledge and the things I've gone through in this life. And I want to share with you early this morning that there's a limit on that kind of truth. Somebody say limit. I got some Bible to back it up, because your experience is not mine and mine is not yours. You may have had bad husband all your life. It don't mean all men are bad. Come on, brothers, talk back to me. You may have had a mean wife all your life. It don't mean that all women are mean. The devil is a liar. Somebody say amen. It is true to you as far as you have lived it, and that does not validate it is true. I prove it to you again. You can take five people in a room, and based on their experience, all will say something different. One will say you have to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit one way, and another say, no, if you don't get it this way, then you don't have it at all. One will say you have to run up the aisles and scream and holler and foam at the mouth to prove you're happy. And another will say, I'm just as happy as you are, sitting in my seat rocking from side to side with tears rolling down my eyes. And guess what? I still got my joy. One will say, in order to be born again, you have to go to the mourner's bench and stay there all night. And another will say, no, because I read the Bible. And it says, if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus is raised from the dead, and that thou shalt be saved. And I'm saved, and I know that I am. That's why. That's why God has a hard time with some of us, especially in the area of understanding the truth. Because based on our own experience, it's our way or no way at all. We forget all about once we come to God is that old things are passed away, and now all things become new. But we only want to work with the old and not the new. I'm going to be finished in a minute. I owe you this last setup. For not only is there subjective truth, but there's also objective truth. O-B-J-E-C-T-I-V-E. And that means what is true to God, period. Here we go again. Don't add, don't subtract, don't divide or multiply. And I need to make this very clear early this morning that there is a difference in what's true to you and what's true to God. For there's some truth that you know of right now, Lord have mercy, that won't be true to you later on in life if you keep on living. It just won't be true anymore. Let me prove it to you. There's some stuff that makes sense to you now that just won't make sense to you as you get older. Let me try to close this thing for real. For there's some stuff that meant the world to you before, and if you keep on living, listen, after you done been lied on, talked about, and stabbed in the back, they just don't mean the same anymore. For some of us, it used to be the truth to give others word for word and always have to have the last word. But if you live long enough, glory to God, you'll find out if you hold your peace and let God fight your battle, you'll win every time. If I'm right about it, somebody say amen. For some of us, it used to be the truth to prove to others that we was the only ones that was holy and everybody else was going to hell. And for some of us that's been around for a while, we find ourselves saying, listen, I can't worry about you. I'm going to pray for you, but it's me, it's me. It's me, oh Lord, and I'm standing in the need of prayer. For some of us, it used to be the truth to listen to gossip about others and pass judgment and point the finger. But if you keep on living, you'll find out when the finger is pointing at others that the thumb is pointing back at you. And just like you changed from yesterday to today, you will change from today to tomorrow. For there's one thing that will never change, and that is the truth of God's word. As I'm on my way back to my seat, the reason I call this text Truth or Consequences early this morning is because I hear Jesus telling educated folks and Pharisees and Jews, if I told y'all the truth, you wouldn't believe it. You know, folks would rather hear a lie than the truth. And the truth is, it only takes a few seconds to say, I'm sorry. The truth is, it only takes a few seconds to say, I'm standing in the need of prayer. The truth is, it only takes a few seconds to say, I need help. I'm trying to get to heaven. Will somebody help me, please? The truth is, who the Son set free is free indeed. The truth is, I may not be what I ought to be, but I'm not what I used to be because I've been changed. And the consequences, excuse me, the consequences are if you don't ask for forgiveness, my God won't forgive you. The consequences are if you don't ask for prayer, you only hurt yourself because prayer changes everything. The consequences are if you're on your way to heaven and you don't honor or believe the truth, you will never see Jesus. The consequences of not believing the truth is the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Listen, if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, and then we tell you today that he died on the cross of Calvary, that you and I might have a right to the tree of life. All you got to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. Listen, you all know the game. You have to pick out who the real one is. And I believe that's the reason Paul recorded this conversation with the Pharisees. For you see, he was trying to convey to them that when you declare that you know Jesus, and that is the truth, the man that woke you up this morning, who put food on your table, who put a roof over your head, come on, who put clothes on your back, who made a way out of no way, who's been a wheel in the middle of a wheel, who's been a mind regulator and a heart fixer and a doctor in a sick room and a lawyer in the courtroom, there shouldn't be any problem declaring truth. For the truth of the matter is, our God is true all the time, and the truth shall stand forever. Ain't nothing wrong with you. All you need is a few moments with the preacher. Until next Sunday morning at 7 a.m., may the God I serve bless you real good.
Blog Talk Radio.
Audible.